Welcome to For the Record, an unfiltered view on current trends and timeless advice for surviving in the aesthetics industry. Whether you're an injector, practice owner, sales rep, or marketer, it's time to set the record straight. Each week, we cut through the chaos and showcase diverse perspectives and winning ideas from the best minds in the industry. I'm your host, Dr. Tiffany Hall, Chief Growth Officer at Aesthetic Record. Now, let's get started on this week's episode.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of For the Record. And it's one of my favorite kind of podcasts, one of my favorite days. And we have an in-person guest here in the studio. We're here on a sleepy Monday afternoon in the middle of Aesthetic Next planning. So I've got boxes piled high. We're all a mess here. We look disheveled. It's chaos. But we have with us someone who is not disheveled or chaotic and has his stuff together. We have with us today Fernando Gonzalez, who is has been a luxury real estate broker for, I don't know, close to 20 years, has done some incredible things, multi-billion dollars worth of transactions in the Dallas market, I think Texas, all of North America market, and had a very successful run there, but by some weird, crazy, insane decision, decided to land himself in aesthetics and has now founded Oro Medaesthetic Brokerage, which is a brokerage partner for med spas, plastic surgeons, dermatologists, dental as well, the whole gamut here. And he has taken his turn to our industry to now, I think, blow it up, make some big changes, and do some really cool stuff here. So he's here today to talk to us about really what they're doing, what his vision is for industry, and how we can really, I guess, grasp onto and really envelop this whole private equity idea with great partners like you. So Fernando, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you for having me, Tiffany. It's really exciting and it's impressive to be affiliated with you for a brief moment. it's really an inspiration to watch what you're creating and what you're growing here in the industry.
Well, we're trying our darndest. And as you know, you're in the industry now, it's a chaos consistently. One thing that's constant here is the chaos and the change, but a lot of things are happening. But I'm curious, really, as I mentioned, you've gone from a really successful career in luxury brokerage and real estate brokerage to now this. What in God's name made you decide to do that?
Well, I love the chaos, but it's controlled chaos, right? So from the outside, it might look like everything is okay and just fine and consistent and we're on top of it. But, you know, behind the scenes, there's a lot happening. There's a lot of different moving parts. But I think that's exciting and it keeps you on your toes. It keeps you moving. It keeps you invigorated, looking for new challenges, never know what tomorrow's going to bring. There's so many different sides to a transaction, whether it's a merger or an acquisition. But nonetheless, it's really exciting and it's a lot of fun and very rewarding at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think people don't know what a broker is. You know, I spent some time in finance, got a degree in that, which I have not used, obviously. But a broker, to me, is like the relationship matchmaker. You know, he's like the Cupid of the whole deal. And so give us an idea of like what that actually means, because people hear private equity, they freak out, as you know. But you're not really the private equity guy. You're more of the relationship guy, making all the parts and pieces kind of fit together. So give us an idea of what that means.
Yeah. Brokerage is to me, really what I'm most passionate about. It's filling needs and wants. It's matchmaking. It's putting people together. If you're a buyer, I can find you a seller. If you're a seller, I can find you a buyer. If you're looking for something to complete a piece of the puzzle, you know, a broker's going to come through, find the needs that you have, and help fill them. But it's not always done necessarily the same, right? There becomes a lot of authenticity that has to happen, that you can bring some individuality to it to kind of make it special and make it unique. And so it's something I'm passionate about. And ultimately fulfilling those needs for my clients is really, really rewarding for me.
Yeah, we spoke briefly, I don't know, a few weeks ago when we first met, and it was pretty instant that you're not money obsessed, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
It was a bigger cause for you. And so I wanted to kind of dive into that too, because I think as we look at the private equity gamut in our industry, it's money. Everywhere it's dollar signs, it's money, it's what is your EBITDA, what's your multiplier, are you 10X, are you 6X, are you 9X? Everyone's like money obsessed. And we forget that there's a patient in the chair, right, who's giving their face 100%. Over to a practitioner whose name is on the door, who they built that baby from, you know, the ground up. And now someone's going to come in and just talk about dollars and cents. And I think it's off-putting and sometimes really scary. So how does it differ for you thinking about that part of the business from, you know, we think about like Wall Street guys with their little suits and ties walking in with their briefcase?
Yeah.
How are you different from that and what you're building?
Well, I think the first thing I do immediately is I need to get to know you. I need to get to know your practice. I need to know what makes you unique. What's your specialty, your focus? What are your areas of strengths and even weaknesses? Those are important too. From a brokerage standpoint, excuse me, I need to kind of put together an entire package of who you are, what your practice is, but ultimately who you are. That's really, really critical. I never represent somebody whose practice I haven't visited, who I haven't seen, not necessarily in the chair, but I really want to get kind of in it and see how it operates, get a feeling for, you know, the culture and what's happening there. And in doing that, I'll learn a lot. I'll learn a lot about what your needs are and what you're actually looking for in terms of a partnership, if you're ready for that. And maybe the answer is you're not, and that's totally okay too. We can learn a lot from the process, whether we go through with it all the way or not. And so what I try to do is really focus on the practice owner, the clinicians, the staff, the culture, what's happening there. And if I can really get my hands around that, then it makes me do my job a lot easier. I can kind of envision how I talk to people about you, how I can go find the right financial partner for you, how I can ultimately bring somebody to the table to enhance what you're already good at, but then also support the areas of weakness and the areas that need a little bit of help. So it's really understanding the client, just like you would understand your patient if you were going to be working with somebody on their face, on their skin, inside out, you know, whatever that looks like for them. You really got to know what makes them tick. And so me doing that helps me ultimately find the solution that's best for them.
Yeah, I think we forget that there's humans involved sometimes. Yeah. But I mentioned that you have founded Oro, which for you guys, you know, you hear about all these brokerage companies, and it's Oro Metastatic Brokerage, which is a newer to our industry. You're going to be at the conference, which this will already have, I think, happened before this airs. But and part of me asking about this is I looked at your website today, last night, a few days ago. You've been very detailed about the process. Like, you've been very transparent about you get the LOA, you do the due diligence. Like, you've shown the process from start to finish of what happens, which I think people don't do. They try to make it seem, like in many cases, very complex and
mystique.
Yeah, mystique. Because like, you have to have me because it's so hard and confusing. It's like me. Nothing is really hard. I just don't have enough time. And so I feel like part of your job is to be like the trusted guide along the way. And so, you know, and being so transparent about it, when you think through that, and people right now, what are their fears? When they talk to you about, you know, selling their practice and they want to, you know, get started in this whole PE thing, what are they coming to the table saying, I don't know how to do this yet, or I'm scared about this, or you know, what are the hot buttons that we should think about as practice owners that are like the red flags or the watch outs that you most often encounter?
Well, I think the biggest fear that everybody has, is finances. It's very, very difficult. It's also very personal. You've built this business from the ground up. You've built this business from scratch. It's, you know, it's like your baby. We talk about it just like your business here has so many different facets and it offers so much, but it's very unique to you and your vision. And so you really have a hard time kind of like sitting back and letting somebody come into the space and kind of take over a little bit, especially on, you know, money and finances and how your metrics are and what is happening kind of behind the curtain in terms of your finances and the practice. That's very, very fearful. And it's like such a trust
fall. I'm getting nervous right now thinking about, like, if you start looking around here too much, what could you possibly find? God only knows.
You know, I'm very aware and I try to pay attention to my clients, to how they're feeling, to what fears they have. And I try to remedy those. And I try to, you know, soothe those concerns or those fears. But ultimately, you know, there is business at stake here. And one thing that I always know and that I feel confident in is that all my clients are businessmen and women, and they are very, very talented, and they have created something truly special in the industry. So when I can kind of help them understand, like, hey, this is, you know, think of it almost like as a consultation. I'm going to kind of come through and look at some things, look at some different metrics, and I'll tell you, you know, what the market would potentially say to some of these metrics. You know, they're going to really love this. They're going to want to see some improvement and growth over here. But when we do that, I always see it in my clients. They kind of, the light kind of comes on, and they're like, okay, it's kind of refreshing to have somebody else come and look at it under the auspices of potentially selling, but not necessarily selling. Maybe it's just to kind of get a little heat check to see, you know, how hot am I in the market right now? Am I coveted? Am I not? Am I close? Or am I, you know, maybe perfect and prime and ready to go? And so if we do all of our exercises and run through all of our metrics, you know, we have just a candid conversation about what it could look like for you.
And then do you guys take that and consult on how to improve their business also? Because I feel like many of our customers at Aesthetic Record, you know, part of our AR vision is to help them have data and metrics and reporting and things so that they can come in and do like a, you know, open book due diligence. But they often say, okay, now that I know it's not good, what's my next step? How do I make it good or make it more successful, more optimized? Do you help on that side as well?
I really try to put myself in the best position for me to succeed. And for me, that's the pure brokerage element of it. So I really focus on finding you the right financial partner and really bringing together a solution for you. However, there is always this kind of long-term vision if we're not necessarily keyed up and ready to go. And so I have a great team and some really great collaborative efforts that I've made with other people who can come through. We kind of tailor make a project for you, a timeline that says here are the areas that we need to grow on. And then we little by little work on that. And it's a process. I mean, that can be several months, if not a year, to ultimately get you to some of these metrics that we need to get to. But yeah, we do. We try to tailor make a plan that says if we can kind of control these areas, whether it's cost of goods or whether it's staff and employment and hours and utilization rates, whatever it is, we'll look at that and help you kind of tailor make a plan that should ultimately get you back on track or, supersede or surpass your expectations and really take you to the next level. But I think that is absolutely critical, is to have the ability to work with somebody, to watch them grow, to watch them flourish. And I think if we do that and I stay close to you and checking in with you, I think that ultimately you will view me a little more as a partner and not just somebody representing you out in the market. And that really helps me. That really kind of gives me the freedom to know, like, hey, I'm going to check in on you every month. Make sure you're just kind of doing what you need to do. Here comes the busy season. Like, you go. What do you need? Can I help you? Do you want to have any of these calls? Do you want to have a fresh analysis of your finances? Do you want to do anything like that? Or do you want to just keep going? And, we just work with it. It is very organic. But all the while, behind the scenes, I'm, constantly working on all my clients. And I'm always in front of the potential buyers out there in the market, talking to them about who I've got, who's coming around the corner, who's really taken this to heart and really tried to, advance their business and to increase their abilities and their outputs. And, they're starting to look really, really strong. And, the buying market out there is really sophisticated and they pay attention. Most of the groups and companies that I work with, they have, a hot list, a medium list and a cold list. And, they're never going to forget about anybody on there, but they'll come back to them and kind of double check. And so sometimes I will get those calls that say, hey, how's XYZ? How are they doing? Have they had a really good summer? Have they had a really good fall? And if you have, we pick up the dialogue and you never know who's going to kind of come back around. So we just keep working on it. It is a process. It is not easy and you have to work hard, but it's the controlled chaos, right? Behind, this very controlled environment. There's just so many moving parts. And as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, you're working really hard to put it all together and to put it out there and make it really work and make it really sing out there. And ultimately, it happens. It just takes time. And I'm just there for the support and the help. And I know what I need to do, right? If I get to know you and your practice, I know exactly what I need to do. And I go do that and I go work on all that. And that's my focus. But long way to say, yeah, there's definitely a tailored, custom-made plan that takes your business to the next level and helps you experience that growth.
Well, a lot to unpack there. But, I'd say a couple things. One is that in this industry, we're not always predisposed to be business leaders. We don't learn that in medical school, nursing school, PA school.
Sure.
And so I think there is inherently just a gap in many cases where people don't understand business at the level that they would if, they were a true business person who did that full time. I think that's one part of it. And in saying that, I think it's always nice to have a gut check. People who may not be ready to sell today or they're thinking about it at some point in the future, what a benefit it is to go to someone and say, listen, it's almost like a consultation that you would do in aesthetics. Like, I think I want to do this in, a year or 2 years. Where am I missing something? What gaps do I have? What are the blind spots? Because I have friends who will say, oh, if the money's right, well, do you even know what you're worth? Like, you have right. No idea. No one of any level of sophistication has actually looked at your business, gone underneath the hood, looked at the numbers and said, you're worth X. Because I think what often happens is you're not worth what you think you're worth. And the multiplier is low and you're all upset and sad about it. But you need someone to almost like an early intervention program to say, gosh, you're close. You're on the cusp of something. But if you could just get these numbers right, but also doing it to what you mentioned with sort of a heart or a thought to the humans of, without sacrificing patient outcomes, without sacrificing staff and the time that they spend at the practice and doing all the different things that they do already, there's this really fine balance. But how much of it, would you recommend people who go that route? Think about that. Say, come in, let's look at your practice, let's get a plan, and I'll help you find, whoever you need to connect with.
Yeah, I think that inevitably every single practice owner goes through that that experience. Once they open the books, once they kind of let their guard down a little and it's all done very, very carefully and with extreme confidentiality and extreme care, because it is very, very personal, that process. And, you know, there's always a lot of different moving parts within the finances of a business. But whenever we do that collaborative process and run through the finances and show you kind of what you are really doing out there, if you had to pull back that 30,000 foot view and pull back and look at your business, what does it look like? It's hard when you're in the weeds, so to speak, and you're there and you're working on, you know, staff and, you know, rent and marketing and goods and supplies and all the different elements of a business and insurance and you name it. And you can't really get a good grasp for what's happening in your business. How's your organizational growth? How is your, you know, your educational growth for the staff? How is marketing? How is customer satisfaction and retention and all these different metrics, right? And it's hard to see that when you're so close to it. And so I think the answer is that absolutely everybody gets some level of benefit from the process of kind of the valuation process, whether it's what we want to hear or not. There's always growth and opportunity to see more clearly what your business is really doing and how it's performing. And I think that any savvy business owner walks away with that. They walk away with, you know what, maybe it isn't the right time, but I see a great opportunity for me. I don't think I'm ready for this, but I'm definitely ready for this. Maybe it's another room and another chair, or maybe it's hiring some new talent. Whatever that looks like, I haven't seen anybody take what I've given them and just keep plugging away. They come back to me with, like, you know, that's really interesting. I love that we explored this area for growth and opportunity, and I'm going to try to, you know, really double down on that and get into that. So I think everybody can learn something. I even learn from this industry. And as you mentioned initially, it's a new venture for me, but it's so much fun. I love the timing. I love the pace. I love working with so many of my clients. I always think about a few of my clients. I've heard this story maybe 3 or 4 times consistently, and I just love it. But it's, you know, this practice owner, and, you know, she started with one laser, and it was literally underneath the stairwell of, like, a tattoo parlor, and she was doing some, like, tattoo removal processes. You know, either way, it started very, very small. Then she kind of bought another laser, you know, used, and started seeing a little line form out the door, and immediately, you know, she's like, I think there's something here, and she's in a small market, and really took off and immediately found a space, ventured out on her own. She probably took some risks that had her up in the middle of the night, and I can't say that we haven't been there. I know what that feels like. And little by little, that practice grew and grew, and, you know, 10 plus years later, she has a booming business, booming practice. And she's now ready to retire and to leave the practice to somebody else and in the hands of the staff and finding a great financial partner. But, you know, you got to time it right. You know, she still needs to be there and to lead the ship and to guide the ship. She's the, you know, the lifeline and the bloodline behind that practice. And we've ultimately, you know, made her very happy and made her very successful. And it's really rewarding to see that, because it's such a process. It starts so small and it can grow to something so big and beautiful, and it can really flourish. So it's exciting to watch that process and that journey for everyone.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's different whenever you build, like, a tech company and you're looking at seed funding and all the different rounds, and you hear about private equity money and you hear about the brokerage and that level, and it's just a whole different world than it is here. It's so much more human intensive here, and, like, you learn about the business, the culture. But I have a question about really the buyer side of it, because we talk a lot about the practices, getting the practices in tip-top shape and getting them ready to be sold. But as a person who gets an email every single day from an investor wanting to buy AR, which, newsflash, not happening, I'm a control freak, as you guys probably all know. But I look at this and think to myself, who's coaching those guys? Like, what do those jokers know about aesthetic medicine? And I think about that a lot as a broker. You're trying to match make. Like, who's looking at the buyer saying, gosh, your perspective of the market is not correct, or they're humans, they're in a room, their name is on the door kind of thing. But also, because whenever you sell, as you guys know, you have to stay on with the practice for, you know, 3-5 years, the whole second bite of the apple, all these things you hear about. But yeah, you got to stay there. So what if they're terrible and you hate them? I mean, there's part of it is, like, your money is great. It's like when you get married, money's great, but that, you got to look at that guy for the rest of your life. Like, are you sure you want to marry him? Like, there's a balance there to strike somewhere.
There is. I think that's kind of, you're getting into that whole brokerage concept for me again, which again, if I haven't made it clear, it's what I love to do. I knew early on like that, the connection with people and working with people and really finding, you know, their needs and filling those needs and making them happy at the end of the day is what I get really excited about. And it's also one of my biggest fears and my biggest challenges personally, because I don't ever want to bring somebody to the table. I don't want to introduce you to that potential partner, love of your life. And then you come back to me 3 years later and be like, he's not what you said he was, or whatever that looks like. But I think that is definitely scary to me, to think that I could put somebody in a position that they're not going to be happy with. So that's why it's so critical that I understand who you are and what makes you tick and what you're excited about, what you're scared of, what you want to see happen to the practice when you're gone, or the next 3 years, 5 years, whatever that is. And if I can get to really know you and understand you, then I can better find that partner for you, whether it's just the financial partner, an outright buy, a merger, whatever it is. If I get to know you and really what makes you tick and what makes you successful through your practice, then I can go find the right party for you. As far as the buying side, it's really important that, you know, we understand what it looks like in the industry, especially the next 3 years, because we're about to start seeing a lot of these practices turn over, right? It's such a new industry. It's kind of like the wild, wild west, and everybody's out here running around. And that's why I was excited to come in and bring more of a stylistic type of brokerage, where it's, hey, I'm not, you know, an Ivy League financial analyst just running through numbers and telling you what you're all about. I am trying to make you happy, and I'm trying to help you fulfill your goals and your financial goals, your personal goals, whatever that is. And so we've got to be really, really careful with, you know, who we ultimately partner with and sell to. And we want to make sure that that's somebody that has the right trajectory in the market, that they're putting together a portfolio that is going to be dynamic, profitable, but that they can also support it and that they can also grow it. You know, sometimes I'll tell buyers, you know, congratulations, you just bought a med spa. But guess what? You just bought a med spa. And now
the
you've got...
The work starts now.
That's right. Yeah, you wake up the next morning and you've got a lot of work to do. And so, you know, having the original seller, the original practice owner there is critical, because, you know, you wake up the next day after closing, great, there's a wonderful wire in your bank account, but you go back to work like nothing really changed, right? There's going to be some things that change immediately, accounting and finance. That'll start to change really quickly. But the good buyers out there say, hey, Tiffany's rolling, let's let her just keep going, okay? We're going to slowly immerse ourselves into your practice very, very carefully, in a way that doesn't, like, shock everybody, right? Between you, your staff, customers. We don't want to disrupt anything. We want to enhance it. We want to say, hey, don't worry about doing these, you know, meaningless tasks, or maybe they're meaningful, but they're just not necessarily very productive for you. Why don't you focus on the staff, and you focus on the growth, and you focus on looking at who's producing and who's not, and you focus on incentivizing them the right way to increase the production, and then we'll handle all of this. You don't need to worry about that. Well, that takes a lot of staff and manpower from the buying side. You know, they've got to have a team, an emergence team that comes through and can kind of carefully transition into making you part of the portfolio. They need to also have an eye towards growth in the future and vision and education and where they ultimately want to take that entire portfolio of practices. So you have to remember that you are interviewing and you are getting to know that potential buyer just as much as they're getting to know you. And that's one of those things that I don't necessarily love that I see out there, where it's like it's the necessary evil that we have to, like, know how much you're making, how much you're getting paid, how much you're paying out, how much is coming in. That's all going to come out. But that's really not the end of the process, right? You need to now turn around and say, okay, well, these are all my numbers. But if you as a buyer had numbers, what would your numbers look like? What's your vision for growth? How do I fit into your portfolio of practices? Do you, you know, see more growth? Do you see, you know, what is it going to look like for me in these next 3 to 5 years that I continue to work with you, alongside with you? Because it is a partnership, right? It's not this adversarial relationship. You're not just selling and walking away. You know, those are all misconceptions. You are basically taking some security and safety off the table financially, and then you are doubling down on the growth of the business and the company. through their assistance and support. And that's kind of like the big picture. And if we look at both sides, not just you, how much are you selling? How much are you worth? EBITDA and all of this. It's more, is this a good marriage? Is this a good relationship? Is this a good partnership? And can we both benefit from it? And if so, those are the types of deals I like to broker, because everybody's happy, everybody wins. And then I get those really happy calls, you know, a couple months down the road, maybe a year later, whatever it is, but it's rewarding. I can kind of like sit back and relax a little bit and be like, I made that person very happy, and it feels good.
Yeah, I think also your staff, you know, as I think about people who are selling, your staff have to stay. I mean, part of it, it's not just the owner, right, who's making money as well, but also like your 8 or 10 injectors who are there. If they all walk out the next day, then the investment company who just put money into your practice is completely screwed, by the way. And so I think part of it, too, is if you're the person who's staying, it's like keeping your staff really engaged, finding new ways for them to engage with an investment company. Because I think about, too, if I'm buying 8, 9, 10 med spas, what do you know that you can help the other person learn, and, you know, vice versa, and then taking your staff and like helping to scatter that around the company and new opportunities for the staff and directors and managers and different training, you know, people. There's a lot that you can do, I think, once you get into a group that's well-funded and has lots of different companies. But yeah, I think your job becomes now like managing the culture and like the transition while you let them do all the like MSO kind of stuff, right? Managing the HR. If I could find someone to come to that for me, like manage all the HR, the payroll, then I would take it right now just to get that off my plate.
Be careful. There's somebody listening out there who's, you're going to get another call for that one.
You never know. But, you know, I think people forget about the fact that it's not just the money right now, but there's like a lot that happens after it that's significant for your, I mean, if you love your staff, people who are listening, I'm sure have had the same nurse for 15 years. They have a tremendous opportunity as well to grow and change and make more money and do more things once you're in a bigger company, like once you get sort of absorbed into a bigger thing. And so I feel like that's often undervalued, not talked about enough.
It's definitely not talked about enough. And the staff can sometimes feel undervalued. You know, I hear this a lot during transactions. It's, you know, my staff is starting to kind of get a little scared, and it's natural, and we understand that. And I would definitely target this little conversation to the staff. So to those staff members out there, if you hear about these rumblings or rumors of maybe your owner thinking about selling, don't panic. Nothing. I mean, this, just hold on for a second. Let's also talk about the other side of this, right? And that's what you alluded to. You might just be going into an incredible opportunity. You might be part of a portfolio of, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of practices around the country. And what could you do with that, right? They're going to, the good ones are going to invest in your growth and your education. And then there's obviously growth within, whether it's the practice that you're at currently or within that entire portfolio. They're, these sophisticated parent companies are building a legitimate platform, a legitimate portfolio that is going to take all the way down from the front desk to the practice owner and try to elevate everybody's game. So I would look at it as an opportunity. They need you, okay? And if you don't know, we have lots of talks about every single one of you out there whenever we're going through a process. Who's doing what? How much, you know, are they producing? How long have they been here? What's their satisfaction? Are they critical? Are they, you know, a good apple or a bad apple? Like, all of this comes up. It's not just the numbers. And this is what I feel like gets lost in M&A and mergers and acquisition. It's just, what are the numbers? This is what you're worth. Close it. Let's move on. There's people's lives at stake. There's people's, you know, futures at stake. And oftentimes the staff doesn't get considered. At least they don't think they get considered. And so it's something that I talk to my sellers about a lot. It's like, hey, let's make sure the staff knows that this is an opportunity. You're not abandoning ship and then leaving them, you know, rudderless in the sea. You know, they are still going to be managed for several years by you. You're not going anywhere. Instead, we're going to see, like, how tight can we get this? How efficient can we make this? How professional can we grow? Like, how what can we do? And it's a beautiful thing to watch. And I think that if I was a staff member out there, I would definitely look at it as an opportunity to take advantage of the sophistication that's going to be brought to you by multi-million dollar companies, billion dollar companies, these companies that want to see you advance and grow, that have positions and openings in future, and they have something to offer you. So it's not, you know, we're getting left behind. It's a new chapter that represents an opportunity. So I would encourage the staff out there to, embrace whatever changes come. I always think there's opportunities for us to take a negative, turn it into a positive. This by no means is a negative, but this is, if nothing else, just an opportunity for inner growth, professional growth, and maybe, you know, a jump start to a future career for you as well.
Yeah, and you get economies of scale, which I think may not mean a whole lot if you're not in the industry, but it's things like when they have an Allergan dinner or a Galderma dinner, they have programs now just for your company, like just for you. Only you get invited because it's so big and there's purchasing power there and you're getting corporate deals, enterprise deals. And so all of a sudden you go from being like, you know, little tiny med spa in some faraway land to now you're part of a player or part of a group that, you know, has like the Kobe Bryants, you know, the LeBron James, like you're a big boy now because you're in a big boy company. And so I think you get access to things that you never get, that you don't even know exist yet, unless you're part of that, unless you're invited to that table, you don't even know the table's even there. That's one part of it. I think the second part of it too is like things get handled, I think, much more efficiently and effectively when you're part of a group. Like if HR concerns come up or having like real policies and procedures and SOPs, I think there's actually a really nice safe landing. If you're an employee now in a group that's kind of piecing it all together to make it work, now you're going to have like infrastructure. I think there's just some really cool benefits to that that you don't often see in a single owner med spa that, you know, it's kind of bootstrapping it all together to make it all work for you. So I think there's just some huge benefits there that you don't know you don't have until you get them and you realize how nice it is to have them.
Yeah, and you might be surprised at how many people go through this process and in those 3 to 5 years that they continue working alongside with their partner, their new partner, they think, you know what, we can grow this. We might need to open up a second location. We might need, you know, so immediately, boom, there's all kinds of opportunities for growth for staff there as well. And you will learn an incredible amount through watching that happen, you know, firsthand. It's really impressive to watch somebody open a business and start it from scratch and grow it and make it something special. So there's a lot of opportunities out there on all fronts throughout the process, and it's truly special. But all of those tasks and you know, the purchase orders and HR, everything, if you find the right partnership, you have just what you're describing. You have this network that, you know, you can have people running lasers all across the country that'll tell you, hey, this is what's working really well for us. Pair this with that and you will see great results. And that's now part of your network. And for the practice owners, you also have partnership in all of those practices that are part of that entire portfolio. So you've now have, you know, an investment in practices that are very successful and very profitable all across the country. So much so that they want to see you continue to be successful. So there's, you know, a great consortium of, you know, injectors and laser techs and, you know, technology and education and techniques. And the good ones will realize this is a network and an opportunity for growth that we have access to now. I can pick up somebody on the East Coast or the West Coast. What's happening over here? What's happening over there? Whether it's skin tones or climate or whatever it is, you have an incredible portfolio to dip into and to dive into and use to your advantage for growth. And that's something that, you know, doesn't get considered either.
Well, and you also get the laser first. Nobody else has it. You get it first. But I think in our industry, it's very important to us all. We like to be the first to get all the things, the bells and whistles. And so I think part of it, you look at like a Candela, a Cartessa, all these guys, you know, they're looking at big boys and saying, you guys get the lasers first. You get the things first. Injectable companies, same thing. But the other part I think about a lot with this is you need a lot of headcount, right? You build one of these big conglomerates, you need a lot of headcount. And so I think about the vertical integration of the industry of, I need to now have a training company who people are coming in and buying training from my company and learning how to inject that I will then hire on to a med spa somewhere. So if you're a great injector in a med spa that gets, you know, acquired, you're now the guy that's teaching those. Like you now have a whole new career path running this like vertically integrated training enterprise to help staff this bigger group. And so I feel like you just start to have all these other jobs and like offshoots, and now going to be the integration person in a new practice and integrating them into the new, you know, into the new world after you've already done it yourself successfully. So just keep kind of snowballing. So I think there's a lot of things we haven't seen it yet because it hasn't been here long enough. You know,
right.
When it's here 3, 5, 7 years, we'll start to see all these bolt-ons and this sort of ecosystem that gets built, but it's not there yet, but it will be, you know, hopefully very soon. But in thinking through that, one of the things I mentioned to you earlier is capital infusion. I'm obsessed with the idea of like fractional or part ownership, like you would do with, since like stock, you know, IPO kind of thing, not having to be sold outright, but having someone come in and say, here's a few $1 million. I'll look at your numbers. You're doing well. Take this money and go make it even better. How does that work? Because no one's doing that right now. And to me, that's like the holy grail of the next phase of private equity money.
Yeah, I think you're right on the next phase concept of it. Right now, what we've experienced the past 2 to 3 years has been a mad dash for, you know, market share and wanting some of those bigger practices with very strong track records and you know, great history and great growth trajectories. But now portfolios are starting to get built. Pipelines are getting pretty tight. I'm seeing a lot of the industry slowing down a little bit. It's the whole congratulations, you bought a med spa, but you just bought a med spa. So now we've got to integrate. We've got to get all our systems and procedures in place. But I think there is a great opportunity and a great wave for the right type of financial buyer. The truth is, not every buyer out there is going to want to take just a small, you know, position, minority position, maybe, you know, they might not entertain that. But there are some that will. Now, I do think there's a direct correlation with, you know, how much support and you know, kind of that back end support that you're going to get based on the different types of infusion of capital, right? So you just want to make sure that if you do that, you're really understanding what you're going to get on the back end, because it's not a total acquisition. So it will look a little different. But I think to answer your question, as everybody's portfolios and as these parent companies are getting more and more established with, you know, dozens and dozens of med spas across the country, they are starting to look at, you know, alternative options for their capital, for their equity, and where to place it and how to place it. So, yeah, I definitely think there's a second phase coming where that's interesting. I think it's attractive to practice owners because you still have control, right? And don't we all love to control our own destinies here? You guys started a flourishing business. You want to control where that is headed and the destiny for your practice. So I think that it's a unique opportunity. It's not going to necessarily come with as many support or bells and whistles or different types of benefits for you, but it will help you, you know, open up a second office, renovate, remodel, expand, you know, hire more talent, whatever that might be for you and your goals. It can definitely be a pathway to that, but you're still going to be on your own for the future growth and for all the tasks and duties that it's required of the job.
Yeah, it's like Shark Tank. It's like, here's my 40% stake for whatever millions of dollars. Good luck. I'll check on it in a year.
Yeah.
Hopefully not quite that extreme. But you know, I think about investment bankers or investment guys coming into the industry who don't know anything about it. What a great way for a buyer to get their feet wet, to say, I'm not ready to buy wholly yet. I don't have the infrastructure to do all the integrations and all the things that you're mentioning with culture. And, you know, you own a med spa now. But I am okay to, like, learn it and fund that learning through a capital infusion of some sort to, you know, practice. I feel like it's a great opportunity for a buyer to learn. Because it is different here. I mean, I think dental, you've done some things in dental. Dental is very close to our business, about 20 years ahead of us, unfortunately. But we're kind of a unique model. We're retail, we're healthcare, we're kind of beauty shop, hair salon all at the same time, but also we're like cardiology. And so it's a mixed bag of chaos. And so I think there's a lot to learn here. I mean, I feel like people come in, think it's very, very easy. It's like, oh, you're just doing some Botox. It's far more complex than that. And you don't know it until you're congratulations an owner. And it's like, holy shit, this is hard.
Yeah. Now the real work begins. Yeah. It is interesting in that regard. I also think kind of just a subset of that, the merger concept, you know, we haven't seen too much of that in the industry either, but that is, you know, where we could take great partnerships, you know, practice owner A and B, and say, hey, what could we do together? What efficiencies and economies of scale? What could we do together that would ultimately make us both more profitable? And there's a pathway to success through the merger concept as well. A little bit harder to do, right? Because as practice owners, as entrepreneurs, you know, you like what you like and you like to do it the way you like to do it and the way you want to see it. And that's great. That's what's made you successful. But if we can maybe open our minds or eyes to, you know, hearing or just experimenting or seeing what somebody else could bring to you and to your practice through a merger, there's that opportunity as well. So I think all of these things are going to get, you know, more and more common in the industry. They'll be discovered and explored quite more frequently than they are right now. And it'll be really interesting to see where this goes. You know, the other thing that people talk about that we haven't really seen is that real big flip of these parent mm-hmm. companies. And what is that going to look like when now I have, you know, 50 practices across the country and I want to go take that and sell that. And what is that going to look like? Well, we haven't seen it It's coming. It may be several years down the pike. It may not happen. We don't know. This portfolio of companies that are being purchased are all going to be very profitable on their own, and they're only going to get better. So as they do that, you know, it may be just a nice portfolio to continue to manage and continue to own. So there's still a lot of unexplored territory out there. And it's something that, again, when I got into the industry, I wanted to bring just a certain level of service to the brokerage side of it. Having been a broker for so long, it is something that I like to do. I really like it from a day-to-day standpoint. I even think about it like in daily remedial tasks. Like, can I get into that restaurant that has a, you know, 3-month wait list? Like, I'm going to need to go broker a deal up there. And like, I'm going to go and talk to the manager. I'm going to figure out how I can do this, get this deal done. And I'll work on that. You know, so I love brokerage, but I think that there's so many unexplored parts in the industry that we're going to see, you know, explored here in the coming months and years. And I just want to bring a really artistic level of brokerage to the industry.
Well, I think what you mentioned there is the big unknown. It's like, can we package these guys all together? I think anytime you hear that thing about the collateral, the back mortgages in 2008 when the whole economy collapsed, and they were trying to like put together these like below prime mortgages together.
Loans, yeah.
And like, oh God, we're all going to get screwed. No. But I think there is a place where, you know, a few people who I've worked with have bought practices like, oh, we're going to flip it in 5 years. Like, but are you? We're now at year four, and they're not anywhere close to flipping it. Like, it's not going to happen. So I think there is an economy thing that's going on right now with this pretend recession that we're kind of in, but not really. We don't really feel it in the industry. But it does affect the whole, like, dry powder concept across all of our investment, you know, friends out there who are trying to buy companies. So we'll see if they package them all together and sell them, or if they hold on to them, or if they part them out. You could actually part them out. But I think the other part of it that's interesting is, like, functional medicine. So functional medicine is, like, way bigger than we are. They're, you know, 10x our size in aesthetics. But merging clinics like that together, like saying, here's your med spa, here's your functional medicine clinic, put those together and have this now holistic sort of healthcare destination. I think we've not really tapped into that quite yet. And there's a huge benefit or opportunity there as well, I think, to bridge together unlike things that are actually kind of like, in a way, the patient's the same patient, to see if we can do bigger and better things there. So I think there's a lot. I mean, you're kind of boutique or couture in how you approach it, so you can do all kinds of fun things.
Yeah, and that whole concept, the wellness concept, this is really close to the industry, but it's for some reason, yeah, it's like right on the side, on the periphery there. And I've already seen some of the more sophisticated buyers out there are already establishing a pathway for that to come in. So it's another one of the benefits of what this looks like, because I think what everybody has to remember is things change, right? You know, things are going to change. The industry is going to change. You know, aesthetics will always change. You know, it's something that's always kind of organic and evolving. And so you kind of want to be on the forefront of whatever's coming next and whatever's coming down the pike. But you also want to be able to do it the right way. And it's really hard to do on your own, because there's all of those, you know, those learning curves that you have to endure. And with wellness, I don't think it's necessarily as sophisticated with like injections and the dermatology aspect of it. But there's a lot of great techniques and opportunities and treatments that can happen that can only enhance your business, right? So it's an interesting conversation that'll also take this industry down another little offshoot, right? And we have so many of those little offshoots, and that's what's really, really, really exciting to kind of watch unfold. It's like we're in this like soap opera here, and it's like just happening like right here, you know, the days of our lives, but it's just happening so quick, and it's exciting to be a part of. And I know that you're excited about it too, with all the great things that you bring to the industry.
We're in a telenovela, as they say. But, you know, I think I look at Invisalign. You know, 15 years ago in dentistry, we were like, braces were the only thing you're going to get. Braces and braces and braces. And now we have Invisalign, and it revolutionized dental care. It opened up to a whole new audience of people who wanted to get it as an adult having braces. Like, I think Invisalign and LASIK prove that you can have a manufacturer drive an industry change that's, like, magnificent. I look at aesthetics right now, exosomes coming out. I mean, There's this, we had a few people on this season for exosomes. It's going to change how we look at aesthetics in general, like all this like body biostimulatory things. And like, again, wellness becoming a very big adjunct to what we're doing here. I feel like the industry is going to change so radically in the next 3 years from a product perspective that it's going to change the med spa space to be different businesses entirely. Like the DNA of the company will change because of what we're able to offer. New patients coming into the marketplace, younger patients, men, all the hair things now are getting so much better to have all these men coming into med spas, testosterone now offered in med spas, weight loss. I mean, semaglutide opened up a whole new avenue for us with weight loss and like body contouring that we've never had before. It's just, to your point, it's always changing, but to see the med spa space change radically based on manufactured products, it's like one of those things of knowing ahead what's coming. Yeah. You start to kind of build the med spa of the future and what you're buying today because you know where it's going. And so that's kind of stuff that I love to do. I love to like look in the crystal ball and see what's happening next, but I think we've got some interesting concepts coming. But I think what you mentioned in the very beginning is the point that you're doing it in a different way and looking at truly the med spa, the company, the practice, the owner, and saying, what is your future? What is your vision? Where do you want to go? Who is a good partner for you? And let me look at the facts, but also the subjective part of it and find a good fit, not just saying we have these two options and it's going to be this, this, and this. And if the numbers aren't good, you're out of here. Next, you know, it's like Tinder. Next, swipe right.
Yeah.
You're not going to swipe right. You're going to help them find a way or find a good partner for them, because not everyone looks great on paper, but maybe incredible when you go to their business and see it really working. I think about debt all the time. Debt's a wonderful thing. People hate debt. Debt's incredible. Without debt, you can't grow. But it doesn't look good on paper unless you know what they're using it for and how they're, you know, how they're leveraging it. So I don't know. There's just so many different things here. It's a mirage of interesting, complex concepts. But we're growing and changing, which is good.
Yeah, it is. It's I think anytime you're part of an industry with this type of growth is going to be super exciting to witness, to be a part of. And I think everybody wants to be attached to this industry because of that. And it's definitely exciting, but it's also, we all have to kind of be careful and guarded about, you know, who we work with and who we're, you know, aligning ourselves with and which products we're using. And, you know, it matriculates into everything, but that excitement and that level of just kind of charisma and what's happening in the industry is what's drawing so many folks to it. But then again, you know, we can never lose sight of you know, the patient care and the human element. And that's something that, you know, and another way to basically put what I do is like bring that human element back to it a little bit, that we don't forget about you. We don't forget about your patients. We don't forget about your staff. We don't forget about the entire picture of what makes your med spa unique and what ultimately makes this whole industry unique. And so that's what's really interesting and fun to be a part of is to kind of work in that space and work with people and help them achieve their goals and you know, whatever those goals are too. And they can be anything. You can be motivated by purely money. You could be motivated by growth. You could be motivated by the scaling up of your practice or multiple practices. There's just so many different metrics for your success. And nobody should have to tell you what that looks like, right? That's a personal journey and a personal goal. And so I just want to know what makes you you. And I can kind of fill in some of the pieces once I get to know you and see how I can help you. And then I try to just fit in right where I get in, just right there. I just want to be right where I'm meant to be and to assist and to help.
And I think it's okay to say that I'm tired of being the pie shop owner. I want to go back to just making pies.
There you go.
Like, I think people have a big fear of admitting vulnerably, like, I'm tired of owning this thing. I want to go back to just being the talent and being a phenomenal injector who does my craft all day long. I don't care about HR anymore. I don't care about PTO. I don't care about FMLA and insurance and my practice. I don't care anymore. I just want to be a great injector. And so I think there's a stigma around that, that to admit that is to fail or to feel like you're not performing. I think it's a wonderful thing to say to yourself, I know who I am and I want to go back to what I do best and let someone else take over the part that I don't like to do.
Yeah. And if you sign up for 3 to 5 years of continued employment, you don't have to end there.
Right.
Nobody's saying, okay, you're done. I mean,
you can stay on forever if you want.
They would love for you to stay on forever and just continue to watch you do what you do best. Right. So there's a lot of different opportunities. Everything can be tailor-made. Everything can be custom-made. The things that we see kind of, you know, behind some of these agreements are really, the ones that I like to do are very, very tailor-made to like whatever it is for you, whether it's, you know, you want, you know, products and procedures at cost for the rest of your life. Tell me what you want. I'll go get it for you. Like that's important to you. Fantastic. I love it. I'll make sure that that's going to be in there. You're like, we're going to work that out. if it's, you know, the staff, if it's your, you know, whatever your stake is in the future, like it, there's so many different ways. New clinics, if it's, I don't know, you want that best parking spot, I'll get you that. What do you want? And we go get it. But it all has to be backed up and supported by, you know, by the production and what you're able to do and what you're able to accomplish in the industry. But there's so many of you out there that are doing that and can do that and have great opportunities to take a little bit of risk away from, you know, the uncertainty of whatever the future, the economy would have you, and put that in the bank and then keep working and keep making money and keep growing and keep, you know, servicing your clients and keep watching them, you know, achieve the confidence or achieve what their goals are. And ultimately you put all this together and it is just a beautiful arrangement. And it's, you know, a beautiful like bouquet of flowers. It's, you know, you got to have like the thriller and the filler and then the spiller. Right. And it makes like a beautiful bouquet.
That's the name of this episode, the thriller, the spiller and the spiller.
Yeah. The thriller, the filler, the spiller. Yeah. So, you know, you put it all together and then you have this beautiful bouquet and it, nothing has to be perfect. Everything is kind of right where it needs to be. And there's no rush and, you know, we've got time to grow, to work things out. What I do urge my clients is, hey, let's do some numbers. You know, that's not the fun, sexy part. I get it, but let's do some numbers. Let's just kind of have like a, you know, like a little wellness, a little physical exam here and just see where you're at and kind of give you some baseline metrics and say, this is what it looks like. It costs you nothing with me and with Aura. We do all this for you for free. And when you get done with that process, and it's, you know, a couple weeks long, it's not very arduous at all. But when you get done, you'll at least have some clarity. You'll understand what things could be potentially waiting for you out there. And if not, then you continue down your path. You get back to business as usual and nothing really changed for you. And all of that is confidential and all of that's happened with the utmost respect and discretion, but it's very, very eye-opening and enlightening.
Well, and I can imagine too, I have a few friends who are veteran injectors, like their names, you would know their names immediately. They're synonymous with the industry, but mm-hmm. they don't own their own practice. Like, I don't want to. I want to go be an educator. I want to go tour the country teaching my techniques. I want to do research. I want to publish articles. It's like, I can't do all the things that I personally love and want to work on and do if I also have to love my practice and do all the things my practice needs. So it's like, I think it's okay to say at some point, like, I've built this baby as big as she's going to get. Like, I'm going to pass her off to somebody else and then go work on my own personal passions. I think there's a place for that too, that you know, if you're a person thinking about that, like, huh, I want to get more involved with my, you know, manufacturing partners. I want to get more involved in research or doing, you know, Patreon channels and touring and doing, you know, all these trainings. There's a place for that. And it's hard to do. Trust me, I know this firsthand when you own a business to also be all the things to all the people. It's very challenging. But I think the second part of it that I've, you know, I kind of wrap up here, I'm curious about is legal and compliance. You know, we talk about this industry all the time. You had your finger guns up earlier with the Wild Wild West, that we are not... We are not buttoned up as an industry. We don't have any sort of certification that's, you know, unanimous across all specialties. We just kind of go until we get caught in some cases, not on purpose, but on accident, like because we just don't know the rules because they change every day. But I feel like that private equity money signals a change in that it will force industry to become more methodical, legal compliant, malpractice insurance well-defined, rules well-defined, because they will beg of it as a company with a lot to lose now because they have a lot more capital. They have to have things buttoned up. And so I feel like it's the ushering in of a new wave. But I'm curious, when you talk to buyers and sellers, like, when does that come up of, hey, these guys are not compliant, they are compliant, we have some, you know, gray area things? And is that part of the conversation even in the beginning?
You know, it's part of the dialogue for sure. It's something that comes up during a lot of diligence. These buyers out there are very sophisticated. You know, we may sometimes, like, you know, point the finger at them, they're the big bad guys or whatever that you know, saying is. Sometimes we target them and make them feel that way, but they're very sophisticated. They do a lot of diligence to understand you, your practice, compliance. They're going to look at all of that. And during the actual process that takes months to achieve, that is consistent. We could talk about that part, but it's not as fun. But it is out there. It's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of diligence out there to make sure that, you know, that their investment's going to be safe and protected. And ultimately, you know, they're buying what they think and believe that they're buying. So that is part of it. As far as kind of the segregation in the industry, it's really difficult and it's a big conversation. I remember when I got into the industry, it was the first conversation that I had with a lot of the people that are closest to me on the buy side in the industry, that I would say, hey, you know, there's a day of reckoning like coming immediately, and like I don't know if it's just my fresh eyes and perspective on this, but
it's just shocking. I'm like, holy crap, how are they functioning?
You have so many different tribes out there. Yeah. You know, you have so many different people, and they're all ultimately kind of doing the same thing. And you know, the problem is that some of us don't like that the other ones can do the same thing, and we feel like only we should be able to do it, or you know, this should be reserved for us, and so you don't have any consistent voice representing the entire industry because it's made up of so many people. Mm-hmm. You know, injectors, estheticians, RNs, dermatologists, plastic surgeons, whatever it is, there's so many people out there doing ultimately great things and wonderful things for their patients. But how do you create one voice and one common, you know, how do we all pull in the same direction? Well, that's really, really challenging. And it's really, really difficult to do. It's going to have to come from, as you mentioned, from a much higher standpoint and somebody with a lot of connections and ability to affect change on a national level. Mm-hmm. And I think that is coming. I know that is something that people are paying close attention to. But it's going to require a lot of cooperation from every single state, from every single practice, from every single board, from every single continuing education avenue. You're going to have to pull all this together. But I will say this, those are the challenges that some of these sophisticated buyers really excel at. You know, they have the ability, they have the know-how, the wherewithal, a lot of bright minds working in many of these offices. And those are the types of committees and groups that will kind of begin and form and affect that positive change. And I ultimately think it would be great for the industry, but I hear everybody's different opinions on it, and everybody's kind of warranted and right in their opinion.
So I think what you mentioned about tribes and sects, that was called SECTS,
yeah.
People dictate what the dictate what happens here, and they're all not on the same page, but,
right.
Or even in the same book in many cases. But I think the beauty of private equity money coming in and brokerage and, you know, folks like you looking underneath the hood is that we're all being forced now in preparation for that to get it together. I had a friend who wanted to sell her practice, and turns out she's an RN. She came and owned a practice. And so it's like the guy that says, love to give you money for it. It's a great practice, but you can't even legally own it. You have to have an MSO. And so I think it starts to tear down some walls and make the conversation much more structured around compliance. And so I look at all the time for AR. Compliance is a big one for us. Numbers and data is a big one for us, and patient safety. And so I personally think it's a great wave into our industry to have people who are looking at this stuff and really doing a pulse check all the time, saying, are you meeting the need here? Are you meeting the yardstick here? And if not, get it together. So I, for one, am an advocate of private equity money coming in.
Yeah, I don't think it hurts. I mean, when you have talented minds and great leadership and people that can affect that change, whether it's all the way to Washington or down on a local level, if you have that and they come from the right place and they really want to grow something beautiful, not just, you know, grab onto the coattails and see how much they can ride this out and what they can take. If you have that, you know, it does require that financial backing to be able to affect that change, to make that change, to be present, to unify these tribes. But ultimately, I think that's what's going to happen in the industry. And we have to remember how big the industry is and respect the fact that there's opportunities for everybody in this industry. Everybody should be able to have a seat at this table. But could we, you know, should we all kind of work a little bit closer and have some standards that we all adhere to and make sure that the patient is always taken care of? Well, sure. I mean, that's not going to hurt. That's only going to make us grow better. That's going to produce better results, and people will talk about better results and ultimately be more comfortable and confident coming to see you and to see your practice and to try different things and procedures and products that they may otherwise not have. So I don't think it hurts. It is, you know, like I said, it's not necessarily the most fun part to talk about, just the finances and private equity and the big bad wolf, but there is a lot of benefit to it. And I hope that if anybody heard, that's kind of this theme, that this can be a great opportunity. This can be a great growth opportunity. This can affect some positive change. And ultimately, everybody can grow from it, not just, buyers or a seller. You know, there's a lot of growth opportunity for everybody in the industry.
And you guys are doing a lot this year at Oro. You're doing our faculty gifts. I just ordered some really cool things that you're giving away. You guys are going to do a talk. I think you're going to give a keynote lecture, if I'm not mistaken. And being part of our conference for the first time ever. And so it's a big hotbed of chaos as well. Back to use the chaos word, but a lot of fun. So thoughts on that and just like getting involved in the conference level. I feel like there's a conference every single weekend in our industry, but it's a big meeting of the minds and like it's a big melting pot of a lot of opinions. And so, yeah, you guys coming to it, what's your plan? What's your vision for Aesthetic Next?
Well, we just want to be the filler. You're definitely the thriller. So we're just the filler and there'll be some spillers. But we just want to support what you're doing. It's again, it's impressive to see somebody. And for those watching, it's an incredible collaboration that Tiffany has here with her whole team. And it's really impressive to watch just like practice owners doing the same thing. So I applaud you for what you're doing. I know exactly how much work it takes and it requires to do something this big. And so we just want to support. We want to send positive messages out there. I want to kind of change the narrative a little bit and help everybody understand reality. You know, sometimes things get said out there that are just completely wrong, that mislead folks. And I know that the private equity side has to deal with that a lot. I know that the clinic owners have to deal with that a lot. So we just want to be, you know, a support system, an avenue for education to help you understand the process, the procedure, what to work on, what to focus on, what it really looks like. And that's all that we want to do. So we just want to support you. Oro wants to be there for the practice owners. Oro wants to partner with great companies and great brands and great vision and great leadership. And see how much, you know, positive movement and positive change we can, you know, introduce to the industry and continue moving forward. So we just want to be the filler.
Well, you can be the thriller, too. Make sure that you stop by and meet Fernando, meet the team. Our faculty is going to be, they're going to love what we have in store for them. But also, I think in the keynote part of it, we've gone through a whole hour here and we've only used one acronym. We haven't used a whole bunch of different random words that are all letters that don't make any sense to anybody. And so for that, I'm grateful. While I may know them, others don't. And so I think if you're coming to listen to the discussion, just prepare for the fact that it's actually like concepts that you can understand and not a bunch of random letters and numbers and division and math, you know, mathematician kind of things. You can actually understand it. So I think that's a nice change for people who welcome change. And they can connect with the human and see, you know, is there a fit here? I think there will be a fit, by the way. I think you'll have a great success working with the Oro team. And hopefully getting your practice ready to get sold or merged or capitally infused, whatever it is that suits you.
Right, and for everybody flying in, it's still hot. So sorry.
Yeah, it's 1,000 degrees.
Yeah, it's going to be that way when you get here. So be ready.
Yeah, we have the Nexties coming up. I think you guys are going to the Nexties. We've got the big thing on Saturday night. We've got a lot of stuff in store. So make sure that you carve out time to meet Fernando and learn all about what they do and more detail. And certainly the website, go to there. So give us your website address.
So it's OroMB. For Metasthetic Brokerage, oromb.com.
And your Instagram handle, which is always the thing that we love in aesthetics.
You can search the same thing. So Oro Metasthetic Brokerage, and I think it pops up as OROMB.
You mentioned sharing knowledge. I think the biggest thing that we're all on here is a quest for knowledge. So as the content comes out that you guys put out about what's happening in the industry and what you're doing, and the website's very, very good, by the way. Go look at it, and you can see the entire process, like labeled 1 through 5, what you have to do if you start this investment thing. And so I think that's great to lay it out, but I'm sure more content to come, but we'll definitely see you in Dallas. Oh my God, it's coming so soon.
Well, we're stressed. It looks beautiful. I'm really excited to be a part of it, and I can't wait to see what you continue to do.
Well, pack your good outfits and your dancing shoes because we've got a lot in store for you.
All right.
And your running shoes, too. It's a very large hotel, as you probably know. Well, I will see all of you guys next week for another For the Record. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another episode of For the Record. This podcast is not intended to provide legal or medical advice. It's for entertainment, education, and information purposes only. For more information on this week's guest or to get started with Aesthetic Record, email us at info@aestheticrecord.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more fresh perspectives on disrupting the status quo and surviving in the aesthetics industry.